Good morning and welcome to a new episode of Equidemia's Science for the Equestrian Soul podcast. I'm your host. My name is Selina Skogan, and today we are on the more science part of things. I have Professor Dr. Emanuela Della Costa in the podcast today. She's the researcher behind the Horse Grimace Scale and the update from this year. And we will talk exactly about that, about the Horse Grimace Scale and how to apply it for recognizing discomfort and for recognizing problems in training, but also pain. This is a very rich podcast with a lot of takeaways, so you should get a little notebook or something for noting it down. And also, already here, a little spoiler. If you want to know more about pain, have a look at the shop, at the Equidemia shop. There you will find the Horse Grimace Scale for download, and you will also find the 24 behaviors from Sue Dyson for download. And against a little donation where you can decide how much or how little that is, how much you can afford. And I'm very happy if you help me spreading the episode. Good morning, Emanuela. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for being here and for taking the time to make this little interview with me this morning, because you are really busy. You are traveling also all over the world and giving lectures and are doing a lot of research. And there we are already in your profession. So I would like you to give us a little insight into your career, into your journey, into equine pain. How did you become, one of the main researchers in that area? Where did you become interested in that field?
Okay, thank you. I'm a vet, so I graduated in 2009, and then I was really interested in research, especially in knowing more about cognition in animals. So I came up with a PhD on horse and donkey welfare, so equine. This was part of a European project called AWIN, and we developed different animal-based indicators, including the horse grimace scale. And why I was interested in pain? Because pain is really relevant when we think about animal welfare and equine welfare, because it's difficult to recognize and difficult to monitor. So we really needed at that time a kind of indicator or something that we can apply in the stables, but also in a vet clinic, to recognize and monitor pain. So this was really the beginning, because then we were a group of people working together, so with different expertise. So I'm more on the welfare side. So my work is usually in the stable. So I go there and monitor the condition, the welfare condition of horses. But I had some amazing colleagues working in the vet clinics that working with us helped us to find the best way to apply this tool in a vet context.
And now we are having 2024, nearly 2025. I hope that most people have heard about a pain phase, have heard about the Horse Grimace Scale. But at that time, if I remember back, there was really nothing. Right?
Yeah. For horses, we had some composite pain scales that put together some physiological parameters with behavioral ones. But the problem of those scales is that they were developed for specific situations. So, for example, colics or post-surgical pain or orthopedic pain. So from an owner point of view, it was really difficult to apply because you don't know the condition of the horse before deciding which scale you can apply. So we moved to the use of facial expression, and the horse grimace scale was really the first scale that was developed for assessing pain using facial expression. We really look into the literature, and we found this paper that addressed the pain using facial expression in mice. So we thought that, I mean, horses are really expressive, and when you speak with owners or trainers, sometimes they tells you, okay, my horse is not well because I saw that the expression has changed. So we really focus on this condition, and we try to find the best model to recognize which were the features of the face that were changing and how do they change after a painful situation. So we come up with this scale that is that includes six different features of the face that were linked to the painful condition in horses.
And now I will frame you a little bit and catch you back because I think the two of us, we are, especially you, we are a little bit deep in the topic already. I'm trying to get our listeners back onto the journey. You shortly mentioned that there have been pain scales, but they were a mixture in between behaviors and different situations. So depending on if the horse had a colic or if the horse was lame, and then there were specific behaviors tied to this. What's the problem with applying these pain scales in everyday usage?
The problem is that you need to be able to recognize these behaviors, and usually this takes time. So you need to observe the horse for a little while. So, for example, for the clinical use, you observe the horse for 10 minutes. And if you think in a normal clinic where you have maybe 20 horses, this means that you need to multiply 10 minutes for 20 horses 2 times a day, and it takes, it takes time. It's important to have something that was quicker to apply. The other problem with horses is that they try to change their behavior when they face a situation that can be perceived as stressful for them. So in a clinic or in a clinical context, sometimes they change how they behave when an observer is there observing them. So this is the reason why we are now trying to move in using cameras or remote cameras to be sure that we can monitor the real behavior of the horse. And another important problem is that you need to train your observer to be sure that they are assessing the same behavior, because sometimes the behavior is a little bit different, and this means something different also for the horse. And I mean, it takes time as well. So, for example, a very experienced vet can really pick up subtle signs, but for maybe a vet that is starting or just graduated, this can be more difficult.
And it's also something that you said before is it's different depending on the disease. It's different dependent on the condition the horse has. So a horse that has pain for colic will look different than a horse that has neurological pain, for example.
We have some behaviors that can be called aspecific, that they are always present, and facial expression are quite aspecific. And then we have specific behaviors. That means that they help you to identify where the pain is. So the condition, if for example is a limb, you can see weight shifting, or the horse that tried to move a little bit just to be sure that it doesn't bear too much weight on the limb that is affected. But for example, for colic, especially for a colic that is starting, you can see sweating, or the horse can be quite agitated, so moving in the box or rolling, and this is not present when you think about orthopedic pain. So they are quite different things.
And that's of course difficult, not only for the veterinarian in the field, but also for a horse owner or trainer at home because you need to be an expert in all these fields if you want to apply these more specific scales. And that is one of the reasons why I am so grateful to have an A specific scale that we can apply. And that is where the pain face or the horse grimace scale comes into the picture. Because this is there we simply can have a look at the different features. We will go through the features a little bit later. We can look at the features and we can say, okay, obviously pain is present. And then we can start from there, going into research and starting from there, saying, okay, where do we have the problem? Do we have an equipment problem? Do we have a welfare issue? Do we have some kind of physical pain? And how can we deal with it? And that is what I like so much about it. We also have to talk about another factor when we are talking about pain, and that is the issue of horses masking pain or simply having something like a stress analgesia when, I mean, every horse owner knows that. I know that from my personal experience. I have a horse that is very lame at home, putting it on a trailer, driving it to the vet hospital. It comes out and it's completely clean. And then you're standing there and say, yeah, okay, where shall we continue research? What's your experience with that? You were shortly talking about cameras, but what's your experience with that we have problems in research or with welfare, and that's completely masked when we are taking the horse to a vet?
Yes, we refer this as masking, but I think it's more related to the evolution of the horse. They are, a species that try to preserve themselves and try to avoid predators. So probably when they have high adrenaline and they are stressed, they try to behave quite normally. So it's possible that for some horses, when they are facing their owner and they have a good relationship with them, they show everything. But when they are facing with people they do not know, they just stop showing. And this can be related to two different facts. For example, if the pain is not so intense, they may be distracted by the presence of people and they try maybe to interact with them or trying to, have a treat or something like that. And some other times they just be so alert and stressed and they are trying to kind of survive of the situation. So probably after the transport, they arrive in a clinic. The clinic has different smells and noises and people, and so they are so overwhelmed by stimuli that sometimes they do not mask, but they just try to find the best way to cope with the new environment.
And that is, of course, something that works quite well with masking or suppressing abnormal behavior, but it doesn't work with the pain expression that they are having in their face. So,
Sorry.
please, you first.
Now, what we know from the literature is that for acute pain, the faces are working very well. Most of the work that we have done, but also after our publication, we had publication from all over the world with different kind of pain. We mainly focused on post-castration pain, but also orthopedic pain with laminitis that is quite intense. But I have nice colleagues that publish about dental pain or induced pain. So we are quite sure that when the situation is acute, it's quite easy to use facial expression. A different thing is when the pain is chronic, because chronic pain is really, really something difficult to recognize and to monitor, and we will really need some research about chronic pain because it's really common, especially for not young horses that maybe have some chronic conditions that can deteriorate with time, but it's really difficult also for the owner to monitor them because sometimes they are lame, so you can monitor lameness. If they become more lame, you can have an idea, but sometimes, for example, I don't know, for back pain, it's really, really difficult to understand if there are periods that the horse is just going worse, and some period that maybe is going better. So it's something that we really need as researcher to focus on more.
There is a new paper released from you and some other colleagues now in 2024 about facial expressions and chronic pain, and you already made some adjustments there. What is the main adjustments or main
Yeah,
suggestions?
it's not related to chronic pain, but we try to revise the description of each action unit because in these 10 years, I try to train more people as possible. And what we found is that some action units were really easy to understand and to pick up, and some others were really difficult. So we struggled to find a good. It's called inter-observer reliability, so it's agreement between different observers, meaning that if I score a picture and you score a picture, we come up with different results, so we are in disagreement. And this is really important when you try to use a common method to assess pain because, for example, we are working in the same stable or in the same clinic. I assess a horse this morning and I say, okay, I think that this horse is a little bit in pain. So maybe I rest him or I give him some analgesics, for example, if I am in the clinic. And then in the evening, you are assessing the same horse. And if we are not in agreement in the use of the same tool, the thing is that maybe you score higher in pain. So it could be that the thing that we are doing for, so the treatment that we are using for the horse is not effective. But also, if we are not in agreement, maybe it's just because you score higher than me from the beginning. So this is really, really crucial when in the same place the method is used by different observers, so to measure if they are in agreement. So I started to train people from all over the world, and we realized that, for example, 4 years, no problems in inter-observer reliability, meaning that if we start the training now, at the end of the training, that is more or less 1 hour, we will score with between 17 and 90% of agreement. All the pictures that we are scoring. But if we refer to, for example, the nostrils or the chin and the mouth, this can be quite difficult. So for some training, I had 50%, for some other 70%, for some other 20%. And
I see.
this was, yeah, I mean, not a good thing. So with LAIS, so with the group, of these colleagues from Brazil, we try to use anatomy to guide the people in the three different scoring. So for each facial action unit, we score from 0 to 2. So 0 is the normality, so no pain, and 2 is pain is present, you are quite sure that there is a change in that action unit. So we try to improve the definition of each action unit based on anatomy. This for helping not only other vets, but also horse people, to better understand what we were referring to.
And this is, I think, the moment where we need to explain that the facial units, you put them into six categories, And which six categories are you using? You were already explaining now the scoring system, so this is the moment where we need to talk about this.
Yeah. We start from the years. So usually the years are moved. If the horse is awake, they are moved to identify the stimuli in the environment. But if they are keep if they are kept backwards and they are tense, usually they refer to pain. So the movement are really reduced, and you see some tension in the pinna of the ears. Then we have the eyes. If the horse is awake, the eyes usually are open and they can be moved with the head to look, at the environment and what is happening. But if the horse is in pain, the eyelids can be closed or half closed, and they also change the shape because there is some tension in really in the eyelids. So, for example, in the score one, the eye shape change and is more related kind is a kind of drop instead of a round. We are not assessing the presence of white in the eye because usually the white in the eye, so the sclera visible, is more linked to fear. But of course, if you think about a colic, you can have fear as well because they are really suffering. Then we focus on a part is called above the eye. And we are looking to tension present. So there are some muscles. And this is a quite tricky part for two reasons because usually we can have the air of the mane that can cover the part. And another tricky part is that when the horse is becoming old, the quantity and the quality of muscle of that part can change and can really make us struggling to assess it. Then we have the chewing muscles. So we need to observe the horse from side, one side and the other one. And usually if the horse is not chewing, so it's not possible to assess the horse grimace scale if the horse is having A or is eating because it's really not focusing on the environment. We can see the tension and you really see the muscles, the body of the muscles that increase in tension. So usually, if they are not in pain and they are not chewing, everything is smooth. But when you see them in pain, they kind of close their mouth and the teeth, and so the muscle become really evident. And I always address them like an odd dog because you see two different muscles that are really clearly visible. Then we have the nostrils and the upper lip part. Again, if they are at rest, so and it's not too hot, the respiration rate is normal, and the shape of the nostril is not altered in any way, but if they are in pain, okay.
Okay, that we
I'm
cut.
sorry.
That we cut.
My modem died.
You know, I always think that I am the difficult one because I'm sitting at the North Pole, but that's honest. I lost you at the, we lost you at the nostrils and upper lip.
Okay, so we start from there.
Yes.
Okay. So for nostrils, you need to take into consideration the respiration. If the horse is at rest and not the temperature is not so hot, usually the respiration is normal, and we do not see any change in the shape of the nostrils. But if when they are in pain, usually the respiration rate change and increased. And another thing that you can see is the increased tension in the nostrils. So you see the nostril as a donut. So you see really the increase of the shape of the nostril. And you see two humps. One is related to the nostril, and the other one, if you look at the horse from the side, is related to the upper lip that increase its tension as well. So the last one is the mouth. For the mouth, you need to take into account not only the mouth corner, but also the shape of the muzzle. For the mouth corner, you look at the length. Usually, if the horse is relaxed and not in pain, the mouth corner is relaxed. But if they are in pain, they increase the tension, and you see some wrinkles on the mouth corner. And the mouth corner is shortened for this reason. So you have tension, you see the wrinkles, and the mouth corner is shortened. And the muzzle, you really need to know how the which is the normality for that particular horse, because some of them has this pronounced chin, for other is less pronounced. But when there is tension, it really becomes round and is a kind of apple, or as this round shape that is quite peculiar, but you see that it's linked with tension in the muzzle, so it's not something normal for that horse. You always need to also consider that for old horses, you lose a little bit of normal tension, muscular tension, so you can have the lip that is hanging a little bit.
Yeah, when they're getting also when they have an abnormality in the teeth, for example, that can happen. But still, this is also a serious indicator. I have, for example, I have a 4-year-old with how is the English expression? The pylorus isn't working correctly, so he can't transport his food further. So it took us some years to come to this point because it wasn't severe enough to show it in a gastroscopy. But we could always see that when he was really in pain, the underlip was hanging. So we were talking, my interns were always joking about the underlip indicator and saying, oh yeah, today he has a really bad day. The underlip is really, really low. And there we are coming to another very, very important point, because from my personal experience, maybe as a horse owner and also as a trainer, you are always so hard trying to do your very best for your pony. And that is also bringing us into a bubble of personal bias, of course. And I, for my part, at least thought, I'm doing everything for my horses. It's impossible that they are having any kind of discomfort. And then we bought a horse. And when he came to the farm, it was a hor first horse. I would even say not only from my own horses, but in my career, that I saw without a pain face, which was quite eye-opening. And I think that this is a problem. We see not so many horses without a pain face that are really happy and healthy. So that is something that makes it also difficult when we are coming back to your observer reliability to observe and really judge a horse face correctly.
Yes, and this is the main problem also with chronic pain because changes are really subtle from one day to another. So it's difficult to pick up differences. And this is the reason why, when you start to assess the Holmgren scale, it's important to have both healthy horses and horses with conditions with different severity because you try to develop in your own eyes the scale. So usually when I do the training, I try to use pictures of different horses in different situation, different cognition co condition to be sure that new assessors can pick up the differences because we all come with our own background. And I grew up with horses in a pasture, and they were not ridden so, not every day. So they were doing quite a good life. And then when I moved to horses in a clinic, I mean, they are more or less all in pain, but they have different conditions. So you can still pick up difference there.
Would you say pain phase is nearly normalized?
What do you mean with normalize?
That it's difficult for the average horse owner to see a pain phase because it's so normalized, nearly every horse has it.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure because I can go to a stable and pick up differences. So I can pick up this horse as a condition and this one is not. The thing that I think is really important for horse owners is start looking at their horse and look at the behavior, look at how they express, because sometimes this phase can become evident in specific situations. For example, if you are preparing the horse for riding, some of them maybe link their pain to the ridden session because of the equipment or whatever. Maybe they have some specific orthopedic or back pain or musculoskeletal pain. So they really change their expression just in that specific situation. So it's really important to start observing the horse. And if you think that there is something wrong with that horse or that horse behaves or show signs that for you are different from other horses, it's important to call a vet and try to understand what is going on because sometimes pain phase can be linked, for example, to gastric ulcer pain or back pain or for mares that can be linked maybe with pain in the
Their
reproductive.
ovaries,
So it's really as specific, but if you see it, it's because it's there.
because it's there, yeah. What I often also see is that if we have very subtle pain, so we are at the beginning of a journey there, I'm often seeing that, for example, in walk, the horse is quite happy and has an open expression. And then we are asking for a trot. And if we have a neurological disease or a very subtle lameness, the moment I'm asking for trot, it makes this. And then we can be sure there is something that we haven't found yet. But then it's, of course, even more difficult to monitor it and to go down to the root because we are so early in the journey. On the other hand, this is a moment where we have the best chances to help the horse. So I'm often sending. Oh, sorry.
Another study that we did recently is to monitor the Holmgren scale before and after work, and we found some differences. So if the work is kind of too heavy, so too much for that horse, or that horse is not really in the condition, you can pick up some of the changes after the work. So it's something that we can use as well. You can put the horse back in the stable or wherever it is. stable, and then maybe after 1 hour, monitor a little bit how he's behaving.
Yeah, I'm grateful that you are bringing this topic up because I'm sometimes feeling already that I'm seeing, each wrong hair. But we had a horse with Wobbler syndrome on the farm. And there I always, it was difficult because we also don't have the diagnostics up here north to find out what was wrong with him. So each time after work, even if it was only walk, only groundwork, not riding, nothing on the head, just liberty work. And I have been asking a little bit for bending Stelding shoulder in. I had the feeling that his expression was immediately changing. And he said, okay, I'm doing this for you, but I don't feel comfortable. So this is something that you also have experienced and do research about.
Yes, we have done this work to monitor the expression of horses that were involved in riding classes for children, and they were supposed to do a different intensity of work in different days of the week. So we would like to monitor if when they do really intense work at the end of the day, they were okay. And we found that if you increase, the number of hours of riding hours, you can pick up differences. This can be related to the fact that, I mean, facial expression are really a specifics. So probably they are also linked to fear and stress, because as you can imagine, when a horse is in pain, there are mixed emotion. But it was useful for me to do this research, because usually we think, okay, this horse is on this routine, so maybe it's off on Monday and then did a little bit of work on Tuesday and then intense work on Wednesday. And we keep this, even if maybe some of the horses are more healthy or more fit than others. And also we need to consider the different riders because they have different expertise. So some of them maybe are more expert and are less
Others.
less challenging for the horse, but some of them they can be, quite challenging, not only physically but also mentally probably. So we need to consider this. So maybe it's better for the horse have one challenging rider a day instead of having multiple of them in the day that works more.
That's of course important. And do you, now you brought it up, we can say that pain is always stress, but not each stress is pain. Is there a possibility to make a difference when we are looking at the facial expressions in between stress and pain?
A really nice work was done from the group of Copenhagen. They measure pain and stress alone using facial expression. And what they found is that especially the lower part of the face, so the nostril and the mouth, can be really related to stress. So, for example, chewing or increasing the respiratory rate can be linked to stress as well. This can be helpful for monitoring. So, if you see just part of the changes of the face, sometimes can be just because the horse is not comfortable in that specific situation, and we need to consider this. But we always need also to consider that when the horse is in pain, probably fear and stress are there as well. So we need to work also on that part. So we can treat pain, but of course, if the horse is really stressed by the situation, we have to work also on the situation.
Yeah, thank you
Otherwise,
for
you do not
saying that.
sew.
That means I always have work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is it's actually very important because we see a lot of stressed horses or people that are coming to me as a teacher. They are in first place, they are coming because they have problems with writability and very often also stress issues. And then I'm looking at the horse and saying, yeah, it might be because he's showing signs for gastric ulcer, or it might be because he's really lame on the right hind leg. Let's get that treated first. Which does not necessarily, I mean, very often we see that in the moment this got treated and the horse is out of pain, the behavior is changing already. But still, we need, of course, education, and we need the student-teacher relationship in between horse and rider for improving overall equine welfare.
Yeah, and we always need to consider if the condition has been there for a while. For example, a lameness, maybe not a high grade lameness. The horse can associate the pain to a specific movement.
Situation.
So even when the pain is quite solved, the horse can still be not 100% sure to do that movement, so it can still behave, in the way that we do not want to. So it's something that we need to work together. So to solve the pain, so diagnose wise in pain, solve the pain, but then kind of retrain the horse and make sure that he's 100% sure that he can do that movement. And it's something that we can experiment on ourselves, because if we, for example, have an injury to a knee, and you do all, maybe you have surgery and then you have physiotherapy, but then in your mind there is always something that try to preserve that leg till the day that you say, okay, I'm fully recovered and I can just run and I will not feel pain anymore. For the horses, it's the same. So they can be in fear of pain because they know that that specific movement can elicit pain. So it's something that we need to consider when we are working with horses.
It's a learned behavior, that is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. How high are your hopes for AI to help us here?
Yeah, I'm kind of fan now on AI, but on technology. As I said before, we are starting slowly moving from direct observation to use of cameras. And several colleagues from all over the world are trying to use these videos to partially automatize the pain evaluation. And this can be really useful because we can monitor the horse over 24 hours. That is not possible when you are doing manually. I mean, it's impossible. And other thing that you can use, we have some sensor as we have for humans. So small sensor that you can put on the horse and can give you some information about, I don't know, how much movement, how many steps, or if he's lying or not lying, or if he's drinking or eating enough. And this can be really helpful in my view, especially for chronic pain, because we can pick up small differences between weeks or months, and this can help us to say, okay, maybe there is something related to the teeth or to the orthopedic pain or whatever it is, because we have some numbers. But of course, we need to have this technology validated. And this is the crucial point when you move from human to animals, because validation is quite costly, and it has to be done really measuring everything to be sure that what the sensor is measuring is what we are interested in.
So this is probably the outlook for the future then. Yeah, I'm very impressed. I started to work to cooperate with an AI, not the big Swedish one, but a different one, who are already now able to, just from videos, measure the how much the joints are moving, how the angle of the joint, each joint is changing, and giving you quite precise feedback where you should also start with diagnostics when you're going to a vet. And I really have high hopes for the future there, that we can eliminate the human factor a little bit more and see more what is really going
There
on.
are tools also for measuring lameness, and some nice colleagues have done an amazing work for recognizing facial expression. So, I mean, there is something that we can work on.
Perfect. Thank you very much for today. It was a
Thank
pleasure
you.
talking to you. You're in Italy right now, I guess.
Yes, in Lodi.
Yeah, beautiful. You have much better weather than us. We have the first half meter of snow.
No.
So, greetings to the sun. I hope to see you again. Goodbye.
Yes, it was my pleasure. Bye bye.
If you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, I would like to encourage you to go to the Equidemia webpage, to go to the shop, and to download the 24 behaviors, to download the Horse Grimace Scale. We have also added a link to the original studies there, where you can find more information. I will also talk a little bit about how I am applying it in daily training, what I'm looking at, what are the key factors to look at. And I hope we can work all together here for improving equestrian and equine welfare.